Welcome. My name is Tim Westberg, and I'm from out in Colorado Springs, direct small ministry called Shelter Ministries, which is a rest and renewal center for weary missionaries as they come back from overseas. My wife, Lynn, and I were missionaries with the Navigators for 25 years, 11 of those in central Mexico, and raised a couple kids down there that are doing okay still, and went through burnout and had experienced some of God's reevaluation as we went through that process, but that gave us the ability to identify and understand with a lot of overseas staff as they're coming and going from difficult situations. Out in about 20 miles outside of Colorado Springs, so as you know, missionaries or families who need a place to get away and recuperate, renew their walk with God, renew their relationship with each other. Got a few brochures up here, and you can just pick up one of those or a couple and let them know about the need for that. So, our topic is God's power in us. Now, as they say in the airplanes, if this is not your intended destination, then one of us is in the wrong place. So hopefully you're here to see what God has to say about his power being able to work with us. And I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad to be here with you as well. Let's pray here for a moment. Trouble with being kind of the official prayer as I opened up the service this morning, everyone thinks you're really spiritual. But I'm not all that spiritual, but we'll pray anyway. Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the way that you have already worked in our hearts and lives during the course of this day. Lord, we want to open up our spirits and our hearts to you that you would speak to us about what it means to have your power working within us in our daily lives. Thank you for this time. We acknowledge that you are here with us and pray that you guide, direct, and speak to us through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, who would you say is the most powerful man in the world? Who is the most powerful man in the world? Just spit it out. Who do you think? Anybody?
Alive today.
Alive today. Yep. Mm-hmm. Alive today. George Bush. Who else? Oh, here we go. A couple more guys coming in. Excellent.
Scott Langer.
The most powerful man in the world. Warren Buffett. Yep. The Wizard of Omaha. Mm-hmm. He's powerful. Who else? We're talking about power here. Who's the most powerful man in the world? Anyway, spit it out. Just.
Who's that sets the federal interest rate?
Oh, yeah, Bernanke. Right. Mm-hmm. He's one of the most powerful men. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is pretty powerful. Ted Turner. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about God's power in us. I'm Tim Westberg from Colorado Springs, Director of Shelter Ministries, on staff with the NAS for 25 years, 11 of those in Mexico, and married Lynn, a couple kids. Is that the summary of everything I told you guys before they came in? So now you've got an idea. And we're asking the question, who is the most powerful man in the world? We've got a few answers, Warren Buffett, Ted Turner, Bernanke from the Federal Reserve. Who else do you think is the most important and most powerful man in the world?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. Okay. Okay, well, I have the definitive answer for you. The most powerful man in the world is Chuck Norris. The most powerful man in the world is Chuck Norris. And here's why. Here's why. When the boogeyman goes to sleep every night, he checks his closet for Chuck Norris. There is no theory of evolution, just a list of creatures Chuck Norris has allowed to live. Chuck Norris is the reason why Waldo is hiding. Familiar with Where's Waldo if you've got little kids? What's that? They're getting deep. Hang on to here. Chuck Norris counted to infinity twice. Think about it. When Chuck Norris does a push-up, he isn't lifting himself up, he's pushing the earth away. Chuck Norris can lead a horse to water and make him drink. Chuck Norris doesn't wear a watch. He decides what time it is. And Chuck Norris can slam a revolving door. So there you go. Now you know the definitive answer in case anyone asks who is the most powerful man in the world. It's Chuck Norris. But he couldn't keep his candidate in the race, right? What did Huckabee say? Border security, two words. Chuck Norris. So anyway, now if you've got kids, you know who Chuck Norris is. But if you don't know who Chuck Norris is, then that's the guy you're talking about there. He's Walker, Texas Ranger, Delta Force, endorsed Mike Huckabee. My kids sent me these things, so that's why Chuck Norris. So this is what Chuck and others might want us to think real power is, the ability to do some of these kinds of things. But all of us have seen the abuses of power around us. We've seen violence, domestic abuse, political power abused. What's the latest scandal? This New York governor who's been having this call girl, Spitzer. Or, I don't know if you saw the Parade magazine, if it comes in your newspapers or not, who's the world's worst dictator? We've got 10 men over here. Interesting, they're all men who abused power. Or perhaps we've seen power abuse within a charismatic movement someplace where you've got power encounters, signs and wonders, and we're not sure how that fits with our experience. Or you've got the other extreme, where someone like Tim the Toolman Taylor always wants more power. I loved his lawnmower. But he's usually the fool. So as men, we're often told not to be powerful. We're supposed to be gentle, be caring, be nice guys. But often we end up feeling powerless. Sometimes in our marriages, sometimes in our families, sometimes in our churches, we have that sense of, you know, I really shouldn't exercise power. I shouldn't be powerful. I shouldn't be strong. I need to go to the other direction. So we shied away a lot of times from the word power. We've run from the word power. But in contrast to this, God says in His Word, 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control." So He says, "I've given you a spirit of power." In Ephesians 3:20, He says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." So I was looking through some of these passages a while ago, and I said, what does the Bible really say about power? How does God's power work within us to give us a healthy respect for power and a healthy use of power, but not an abuse of power? So I'd like to take some time, and we're going to make this a real workshop. We're going to have you guys work while I go shop. No, we won't. I've already bought my books, so we're all set. But I want to see what the Bible says about power, and specifically, what does God say about God's power working within us? Now, Webster's dictionary defines power as the ability or capacity to act or perform effectively, a strength of force. The ability to act, the ability to do something. And in the New Testament, two words are used, mainly, there's several others, but two main words are used. One is dunamis, which means a physical or moral ability to act in action. Physical or moral ability in action. Now, some of you might recognize that word or have heard this before. Dunamis is the basic word for dynamite. So that's the power that we're talking about that the New Testament Greek word uses to describe God's power in us. Second word is, and I won't even try to get this one right, exousia. Means the authority or the right to act or freedom of action. So one has to do with the physical power and the other has to do with the authority or the right to use that power. Between them, these two words are used 223 times in the New Testament. We don't think about it. We often skip over them, but they're used 223 times in the New Testament. The word power in the Old Testament is only used about 118 times, according to my concordance. So it's talked about twice as much in the New Testament as it is in the Old Testament. What are some synonyms you can think of for power?
Authority.
Authority.
Mm-hmm.
Control. Excellent. That's often used. Mm-hmm. What else? Synonyms for power.
Strength.
Strength. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Anything else you can think of? Another one that comes to my mind is courage. But strength and authority and courage come in there as well. Now, we don't have time to look up 223 verses during our half an hour or 45 minutes or so here this afternoon. So I pulled out a couple dozen to help us just to kind of get started in finding out what does the Bible say about what power is. And because I'd like to make this a workshop so that we're interacting with each other, because I'm still in this process of trying to figure out, okay, what does this really mean? And I'd like to be able to learn from you all as well. I'd like us to break up into groups of about, well, let's see, one, two, three, four, 18. So about five, four or five people in a group. And I've got a handout over here. And we're going to look up some verses just together, interact in a small group basis, and then come back together and talk a little bit about what we've seen as we've gotten into the Word ourselves to see what power is all about. So if we can break up. Break up in groups of about four or five, and I'll hand these things out and give you some instructions on what to do. Move your chairs around, find out where you're comfortable. Got it there. Mm-hmm. Oh. One, two. You'll probably want to swing around here, so I'll have to hand one off to each person here. Okay. One, two, three, four, five. Should be enough there. You guys got three in your group over here? That'll work. I think we've got enough five for everybody in this group over here. Oh, one more. Okay. I'll put one down for him over here then. Okay. We've got three questions. They are, what do the following verses have to say about God's power? Secondly, what God's power enables us to do, and how we obtain God's power. So what I'd like us to do is have this group here look up the verses under A. This group here will be group B. This small group, grupito, back here will be C. There you go. And, well, that makes them only three, so, okay. Oh, there's one more over here. Okay. So A, B, C, and Steve, you are a genius. You are D. Excellent. So, what you might want to do is have one person look up a verse or two and then read it out loud, and then you can all can comment on that. So interaction on what you think the answers to these three questions might be as you look up these verses. Certainly. Let's see what we got here.
Give me that. Whatever you want.
Yeah, thanks. Use that. New Living there, that'll work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll kind of wander, and if you come across something and say, I don't think this fits the category, then maybe I've got a typo or something in there, but see what you come up with. You all have different verses in each group, so there won't be any cheating. Yes, answer the three questions, whichever one relates to the verse that you happen to have there. So, and you can have a leader. If you can't figure out who's the leader of your group, whoseever's birthday is closest to today is the leader of the group. Paul said we can all be leaders, right? So there you go. Kind of getting the idea?
That trick question.
Which one?
Genesis 1:1, when you only gave us, you created the heavens and the earth. So we can just pick one of these if there's nothing else in there.
Yeah, right. You don't. Not everything will be in all in every verse. Yeah.
Trick.
So it. Okay. Good. Good question. Right. You won't find an answer to every question in every verse. Don't try to manipulate. Just some of the verses.
You made me work really hard.
Well, if you come up with something, let me know. I'll tell you. I'll publish it. So, okay then? Okay. Yeah, you know, you look at who God is. Well, it's God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet, Jesus Christ, as God the Son, he was dead. I mean, he died. So it had to have been God the Father's power that raised him up. And it's the power over death. You know, that we're seeing some of these verses there, so. Right. Mm-hmm. You can only read so much into it, right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, okay. How you guys doing over here? A couple more verses, or are you about wrapped? Okay, well, if you want extra credit, you can go and answer some of the other guys' questions verses too, so. Got a few more minutes, so. How you doing here? A couple more verses to do, or are you on the last one? Okay. You guys just about wrap it up here too, then? Closing. Okay, very good. Or you can try some of the other guys too, if you want. So.
They reject God's power. They won't be not ready. So when they come down and mingle with some of the religious offices.
Wrap it up in about another minute or so here, and we'll pull it back together and share our thoughts with each other. Don't all talk at once, whatever you do.
That's that first verse I read. God is our Spirit is right at the end. All glory and power belong to Him forever. Amen. So I looked at this one. Pretty good. Self-control. So, how are we doing on the Spirit?
Okay, why don't we wrap it up here and pull it back together. You can just kind of turn your chairs around if where you're at if you want to, or pull them back in rows or whatever. I'm not big on everyone all lined up in nice straight rows. I don't know about you guys, but as I started looking through some of this stuff, I realized how often power is mentioned in the New Testament. Like I say, this is just about 10% of the verses that are in the New Testament on power. And let me encourage you as you head back home or do some own personal Bible study to look up the verses that the other groups had. And just keep your eyes open as you're reading Scripture for that word power and see how it comes out to you as you're going through it. So, well, let's interact a little bit here as far as what you came up with within your groups. On the first question, what do these verses have to say about God's power? It's not connected. There we go.
We may have looked at it incorrectly, but we sort of looked at it and tried to say, okay, what were some examples of God's power?
Okay.
And the first one we came up with, we started small, and that was He created earth.
Just a minor thing, just on His off day. Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. What's the matter with you guys anyway, huh? Must be listening to each other. Okay, so creation. Obviously, that's a huge subject. I mean, look at the whole Genesis 1 and 2 and see what God did to create the world. So, God's power. What else do we have?
We gain power through knowledge.
Okay. So, God's knowledge?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, His Holy Spirit.
The fact that it's infinite and almighty.
Infinite, almighty. Okay. God is sovereign. That might be spelled right. I don't know. I was going to be a high school teacher, but didn't do very good at this kind of thing, so I never did it. So.
One of our passages talked about the power of the resurrection.
Ah. Mm-hmm. It is mentioned a few times in Scripture, so you know there's a possibility that there's not just plagiarism here. We've got some powerful. What was that, Alan? So what else do we know about God's power? Yes.
Power is actually divine work divided by time. So you actually take.
Say that again.
Power is actually divine work divided by time.
Work divided by time, okay.
Work is actually force times distance. So if God has a lot of power, He's actually able to do a lot of movement in you in a short amount of time.
Huh. God is able to do a great deal of work in you in a short amount of time.
Yes.
Huh.
Because it's power, the time is spread out.
Mm hmm. Huh. Excellent. Now you're an engineer?
Science teacher.
Okay. So you're one of the guys that I was hoping to be, but never got there. And then my son is an electrical engineer, and but he's over in Germany, so I couldn't pick his brain on this. But so have to look at that coordinate. I have to ask more about that formula later. That's excellent as far as the power. In fact, that's part of the definition even is the ability to act or perform effectively. So that would be that work within a certain period of time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Time has to be short.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw that in one of the verses, I think, that mentioned that the lady that was in the crowd
who
touched Jesus.
Yes,
everybody was touching him, but she believed and the healing was instantaneous.
Ah, mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm.
About power over death.
Power over death? We can just put next to the resurrection power over death. God's part of God.
Unsearchable things that we won't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see.
Yeah.
Power
over things we can't see, of course.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Power over the unseen. Now, did you guys have that too, or did they get that on their own? Okay. Very good. Okay. What else? This is just a smattering, obviously, of verses from power, of God's power. Long ride home for them. Okay. George, you got power of the cross. God's power is seen in the cross. Excellent. Power to give life. George has got all the answers over here. Excellent. Anything else on God's power that these verses talk about? So we, pardon?
Protects.
Power to protect. Mm-hmm. Is in Jesus. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, and Matt, you had? Oh, Doug.
In Matthew 28, it says all authority has been given to
Jesus. Huh. All authority in heaven and earth. And that's the second one of those words, exousia, the authority, power. So Jesus has all authority, all power. Just think about that for a moment. You know, you've seen the power lines out here. You see the windmills out here generating power. You've seen Hoover Dam and Niagara Falls. You see the power of the sun. And then comprehending the total power that God has and is. George, you had something else? Or no? Mm-hmm.
The power, well, through him,
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced it. I think I talked to you a little bit about it before.
Yeah. Through your surgery and some of the things you've seen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys growing up ever saw these Moody Science films. They were back on 16 millimeter films once upon a time, and I'm not sure if they've got them on DVD or not, but one time they had this guy who would stand there and he put little metal tips on his fingers, and he would run 10,000 volts through his body and just shoot out the volt on both sides. Now, the amps were really low, so he didn't get killed, but if I understand my power correctly. But he's standing there, you know, just shooting out these sparks on both sides. And whoa, that's cool. That's powerful to see those things going through people. But thinking about the magnitude of God's power and all these things here, that we see in just a few short verses that talk about God's power and what's involved in that.
By faith we can access God's power.
That's the next part of it. How do we obtain His power? Mm-hmm. How do we tap into that so that we're getting that power? Well, let's look at the next question. What God's power enables us to do, and then we'll get to the how we access that. Let's see, where's my other... my other sheet here. Okay. What does tapping into God's power enable us to do as men and as children of His?
As one that we can witness to the end of the earth.
I like that one. As a missionary to Mexico for 10, 11 years, seeing God's power to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Okay.
He says if we have the faith of a mustard seed, we can move mountains.
Move mountains. Just pop them out there. There's a bunch of these out there, so.
Escape corruption of the world.
Of the world. Excellent. Mm-hmm.
Endurance.
Power in the blood.
Power in the blood. Mm-hmm. And that ties in with salvation. Power to be saved.
Make disciples.
What else we got?
More than imaginable.
More than imaginable. What's the verse for that?
Ephesians.
Okay.
3:21.
Mm-hmm. Things that we can't even think about. Gives us the power to do, the power that, again, that works within us.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That is so true. So, what else we got?
To make us perfect,
to make us mature. Mm-hmm. Power to rebuild the temple in 3 days. That's a whole other subject.
Something to rely on rather than our own wisdom.
Okay.
Maybe perhaps God's power enables us to be more positive, maybe.
Chuck? Boast in our weakness. I've put together a few things as I was going through it, most of which, or some of which, we have mentioned already. Some of these are from the verses themselves. Some of these, as I was thinking about it, the power to love God and others, the power to be self-controlled. I think 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, "For God has not given us that spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control." In my mind, I think maybe there is a progression. If we have God's power, He enables us to love and to be self-controlled. Power to love your wife, for those of us who are married. Power to be courageous, not fearful or timid. And speaking of 2 Timothy 1:7 again, there are a lot of things that as men we're fearful of. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid sometimes of success. We're afraid of what others will think of us. We're afraid that our businesses might fail. We're afraid we might not be able to supply for our families. We may not do well in school. There's a lot of fear. There was a book written a while ago by Michael Crichton called The State of Fear. And he talks about, it's a novel, but he talks about the how often the media, politicians, researchers are all creating a state of fear. We're always afraid of something, whether it's terrorism or whether it's the economy or whether it's the environment around us, global warming. That was the point of his book, actually. And so there's a lot of fear that's coming at us. And as men, we say, oh, man, what can I do about this? Well, God has given us not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. So the power to know Christ, to accomplish great things. Talk about Ephesians 3:20-21. To endure suffering, endurance we had up there. Sometimes it's the power to say no. Sometimes even to good things in order to be able to do the right things that God wants us to do. Or sometimes it's the power to say yes to those things that we know God wants us to do but we're kind of fearful about. It gives us the power to battle evil, conquer sin and Satan. Talk about Ephesians 6, I think, in the group in back over here. 6:10, where it talks about our battle is not against flesh and blood but against principalities and powers, and we have His power to be able to deal with that. The power to make disciples, to be witnesses, to go to the nations, or just to go to our neighbor. Sometimes it takes more power just to talk with our neighbor than it does to go on a short-term missions trip or something. The power to forgive. And this is huge, especially within a marriage relationship, being able to forgive somebody else. And the power to ask for forgiveness. We could spend a whole another session on just those aspects of that power to be able to do one of those things. The power to preach and teach, saw in some of the verses. The power to believe the truth and not believe Satan's lies. Again, what are the things that, you know, think about all the things that Satan throws at us that are his lies. The power to bring up the tough subject, whether with your family or with your boss or with a coworker. Oh, by the way, I have this as a handout. So those of you who are trying to write them all down, I'm sorry, I should have said this sooner. Howard, I've got it over here. Forgive me. Forgive me if you have the power to forgive. I would appreciate it. Steve, yeah. Oh, okay. Just stretching, okay. The power to defend justice. The power to stand up for those whom justice is not being served. Power to have a sound mind. That would be another translation of self-control or self-discipline from 2 Timothy 1:7. Be able to think clearly. The power to heal. We saw Jesus, the woman touching Jesus' robe being healed. And we're not going to get into miraculous healings and that kind of thing, but the power to have God heal us, sometimes in our inner person. The power to serve others. Conquering death, we saw. Power to be disciplined. Power to make wise decisions. The power to be honest. That's a toughie sometimes. You know, a little white lies, a little stretching of the truth. God says, I give you the power to do the right thing. The power to do the difficult thing. To make the hard phone call. The power, and the last things are some of the fruit of the Spirit. If it's a Spirit, that God, it's Holy Spirit that God has given to us. And so He gives us the power to exemplify the things that He talks about in Galatians 5:22-23. To be gentle, to be patient, to be kind, to be peaceful, to be joyful, to be humble, to be holy. When we think of power, a lot of times we think of controlling others. But as I look through the list of things up here, what I see is God gives us the power to control ourselves and to let the Holy Spirit work within us to be able to accomplish these things up here. Additional thoughts or questions on this part? Okay, how do we obtain God's power? What did you find out as far as how do we obtain this fabulous source of power that has all these fabulous benefits for us? I always start out so organized, but by the end of the seminar, things are flying all over the place. So how do we obtain God's power?
Perhaps by pleasing God and living the life that He wants us to live.
Okay.
following his instructions. Be patient to wait on his command.
Okay.
Faith.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge, which I think.
Okay, I mentioned knowledge earlier. Mm-hmm. Knowledge of God.
Yeah, they don't have prayer down there either.
How? Prayer. What else did you come across? How do we tap into this power? How do we turn the switch? By God's grace. Often they go together, power and grace. Grace is God's giving us what we don't deserve. He gives us above and beyond His grace. Mm-hmm.
If we don't deserve God's grace, we sure don't deserve the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's very true. That's right. It's a spirit of power, a spirit of grace. Mm-hmm. And yet He has given it to us. Mm-hmm.
Mercy.
Mercy. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. We'll get back to that in just a second. Mm-hmm. Well, let me suggest two things. Oh, yes. Go ahead, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
And what about weakness? What about weakness is a prerequisite? Being weak?
In ourselves.
In ourselves. Mm-hmm. Recognizing that weakness in ourselves. Pardon?
Having a spirit of humility or humbleness.
Mm-hmm.
Having a spirit of humility.
Mm-hmm. Someone else.
In Colossians, it talks about something that I thought was kind of strange when I read it. Was we labor with all His energy. So if we're laboring with His energy, I'm not sure what that means, but I'm thinking He's wanting us to take some time to do that. I think when you labor in prayer, maybe, or work through things, I think it takes work to relinquish His Spirit, I think.
Huh.
I think that's labor. I think it takes time for us to continue to die to ourselves,
so
we can take over.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I just had not seen that before until it's clear right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Anyway, any other thoughts on that? Say it again.
That's the actual verse said we labor with all His energy within us.
Mm-hmm.
The labor to me means there's some work there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I keep thinking, well, that's supposed to be dying to self, so
He can take control. Yeah. Paul talks about, by His grace, I labored even more than all of these. In 1 Corinthians 15, I think it is. Mm-hmm. One, I think more that gives us the power to be able to labor. I mean, power has a usefulness. It's used to turn on the lights. It's used to provide our heat, gets our cars going. It's the power that to be able to be used, the action to doing for that. Mm-hmm. So, well, let me suggest two things as far as how to appropriate God's power. There were two, this group over here had the answers. We need to recognize our weakness. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 5 through 10, Paul says, I will boast about my weaknesses, because when I am weak, then God's power is able to work in me. We need to recognize and affirm that in ourselves, we don't have that power. And that's the first key step, I think, to obtaining God's power, is to be able to recognize that we can't do it in ourselves. It's a quote from a fellow who works out in California. It says, Scripture never commands us to be critical of our weaknesses. In fact, we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. Yet most of us can't tolerate weakness, and we can't accept ourselves as God does with our weaknesses. The Lord said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Doesn't make sense, but that's the first step. Paul's healthy response was, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This attitude centers our thoughts on Christ rather than on self, enabling His power to flow through our weaknesses. Let me suggest even sometime that you make a list of your weaknesses. Say, "God, I can't do this. You've got to do this." And recognize what our weaknesses are and boast about those. And then, as was mentioned over here, we need to ask. "You have not because you ask not." God, I can't do this myself. I need your power to be able to do this. And there are times when I'll wake up in the morning and, man, I just don't look forward to anything about the day. You know, I just don't want to get out of bed, or it's just slow getting going. And I'm very aware of my weakness at that moment. Just 2 days ago, Wednesday morning, I woke up and I started getting this cold, which I'm half drugged right now. But I said, "Lord, got this conference coming up. I'm going to drive all the way to Nebraska, give the workshop, do a couple other things. I can't do this. You're going to have to be in me and give me the power to be able to do it." So I said, "God, give me your power to be able to do it." And during the course of that day, sometimes when I pray this, it's almost instantaneous. God comes in and I sense a greater degree of His energy, of His strength, His power, His ability to act and to be able to do this. Let me make a suggestion that you try it out just over these next 2 weeks. Each morning, say, "Lord, I am weak. I am powerless. Enable me, strengthen me with your power that works within me." Just see if it makes a difference in your days. Just try it out for a couple weeks. Nothing to lose on it. Just takes a couple minutes. Ask God to be able to do that for you and see what happens. Second thing is to stay connected. What happened when I turned the switch and the electricity didn't come on? Nothing. I had to plug it in. Exactly. I did that on purpose. I unplugged the thing so we could see what happens when you're not connected to the source of power. John 15:5 says, "You can do nothing apart from me. I am the vine, you are the branches." It's that same source of power that works within us. So part of the way to obtain that power is to be connected to the source of the power Himself. What's your quiet times like? How much time are you spending with the Lord in a Bible study each week? Is it just kind of half an hour on a Sunday morning when you get a pre-digested message, which may be good, but it's someone else who's gotten the power from it? He's just passing it on secondhand to you. Are you getting some good times in the morning just asking God for His Word, spending time in the Word, taking 10 or 15 minutes before you head off to work or to school or wherever you're doing? Stay connected to the source of that power by getting your time with Him. So those two things, recognizing our weakness, asking Him for that power, they go together, and then staying connected to the source of that, to the source of that power. Two things that I like, many things along here, but it talks about being witnesses to the ends of the earth. Go and make disciples of all nations. And we had a couple testimonies during the course of the last meeting here from Zimbabwe, and we have a number of us who have lived and worked overseas as God has given us the opportunities to do that, Steve and others. And I'd like to read you just an email that we got from someone who's involved in a restricted access country in Asia, and what God has done in their life to give them the power to be able to share their lives with others. So the following, and I'm changing some of the names and some of the names of the cities in order to protect them. The following is from a young couple's email newsletters. It's an incredible story of how God has worked in their life to give them the power to make disciples of all nations. So here's the scene. This couple lives in China, where they teach English. I can tell you that much. They were expecting their first baby on February 4th, 2008. They wanted to have the baby in a modern hospital about 4 hours away by taxi and train. They planned a temporary move to be near the hospital a week before her due date. The baby was due during the Chinese New Year, also known as Spring Festival, when, as Steve can affirm, there are tens of millions of people traveling.
300 million.
Hundreds of millions that travel during that time. From China, of course, 1.3 billion. The 0.3 is how many we have here in the U.S. So they have 1 billion more people in China than we have here in the United States. And a good portion of them are migrant workers. They live in the rural area. They work in the cities. And they just go home over this three-week period of the Chinese New Year, the Spring Festival. So trains, buses, cars are packed. Then the worst blizzard in more than 60 years hit central China, paralyzing transportation. Then early morning, the day they were planning to move to the hospital city, the wife, we'll call her Beth, starts into labor. So here's the millions of people, biggest snowstorm in 60 years, heading off to labor. So this is, and we'll call the husband Jack. So this is Jack's email from the morning of January 27th this year. This is just a month and a half ago. We think Beth went into labor about 3 o'clock in the morning. She woke me up at 4 to tell me what was going on. We stopped to ask the father what to do. And we asked him to pause the labor long enough to get to the hospital, a near impossibility. Remember, 4 or 5 hours from the hospital. There's about 2.5 feet of snow on the ground and about 1 foot on the roads. We are supposed to have snow showers all day. We called our midwife at the hospital at 4 a.m. She told us that our 1 p.m. train was too risky and we should get tickets for an earlier one. Also a near impossibility. The entire province is snowed in and millions, literally, are trying to get out of the cities to visit their families for Chinese New Year. I went out, this is Jack speaking, about 5 a.m. and tried to catch a cab. The cab driver laughed at me, said he wasn't even going out for the day. I went home, called Tom, our co-worker, and told Beth she needed to be ready in 20 minutes to try to get a bus. Tom and I carried the luggage through a foot of snow to the main road as Beth slowly followed us. Picture, about 0.5 mile through the snow, 9 months pregnant, starting in the labor, husband's ahead carrying the luggage, trudging through the snow. At the main road, I flagged down a second taxi. Now, how many taxis are out at 5 a.m. in the worst and only blizzard our city had had in 60-plus years? I told him our situation, and he agreed to take us to the train station. Another miracle. The city looked like a war zone. There were totally unbelievable amounts of snow everywhere, but just enough pack on the road to be able to drive on it. Second miracle. After many incredible details at the train station, I had 2 first-class tickets on an 8 a.m. train. Third miracle. Once on the train, and after a drink of Sprite and some peanuts, healthy breakfast, eh? The contraction stopped. Fourth miracle. The train made it to the city by 10:10 a.m. We braved sleet and snow to find a taxi to the hospital, arriving about 11 a.m. Our midwife says today will be Lydia's birthday. We'll let you know more soon. Please pray. The rest of the story. January 28th, later that night. After a very long day, Lydia Joy was born at 7:53 p.m. on Monday evening. Birthday, Monday, January 28th, 2008, 7:53 p.m. Weight, 3.34 kilos, a little under 7.5 pounds. Length, 49 centimeters, almost 20 inches. Hair color, light brown. Eyes, blue. Probably, she doesn't open them very often. God has called them to be a part of something that he's doing in China. And God gave Jack and Beth the power to be able to work and serve in that location and gave them the strength and the power to be able to make it to the hospital and to be able to make the right decisions along the way to be able to have that healthy child. Now, one more part of the story. There she is, Lydia Joy, my granddaughter. That's our daughter and her husband who are over there. And I have lots more pictures, as only a grandfather can have. God gave us the opportunity to be there 2 days afterwards. We're planning on being there to spend time with them before Lydia's birth. But she came a week early. But my wife and I went over there, got there for her two-day-old birthday. Again, almost a miracle for us to be able to get into that city. And then we were there for 3 days in the city that they had the birth in. And then, again, had to get a miraculous ticket to get the train back to their home city and be back with them for a couple days, or for a couple weeks, actually, to help them with the first couple weeks of the birth. So God is at work in doing miracles. He's bringing power to us and other people to change our lives and to be able to reach the world. I'd like you to take about just a couple minutes here. Time's just about up. But just read through a couple of your notes and ask God, God, what do you want me to take away from this workshop? What have you taught me from your word about your power that I need to be appropriating in my life, perhaps this day, the next couple of weeks? And just take about 2 minutes here to ask God to speak to you and bring something out that you may have heard, or that you may have seen the scriptures, that you can make application of during the course of the next couple of weeks. So I just gave you a couple of minutes, and then we'll move on to our break time here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your power. Lord, this has just been a small sampling of who you are, your immensity, your greatness. You are Almighty God, King of kings, Lord of lords. You have created this whole world, including ourselves. Your power is just incomprehensible for us. And yet you have said that your power will work within us as we stay connected to you and as we recognize our weakness and ask for your power. Lord, as men, we are often put in a difficult position in this world. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one here as we apply your power, that we would use it effectively and wisely for your honor and for your glory in every aspect of our lives on a day-by-day and moment-by-moment basis. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.